broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
I'm sorry. I was actually off camera. If the people are, you know, looking at the video cast, it's got all kinds of stuff happening here. One of our cameras locked up. It was camera one. And since I do everything here, the only thing I don't do and what I probably should do is also work the affiliates to try to get more affiliates for the show. but anyway, so I was off of camera there looking at our number one Camarico, and it looks like it's going to be a long, long, bloody night tonight.
But you busted a tripod.
No, I didn't bust anything, man. You can reset that up. This is a very interesting camera. It is a Canon, and it's one of our video cameras. We use it as our number one camera, which is basically a side shot of the broadcast console. But every now and again, for whatever reason, it just locks up. It stops what it's supposed to be doing, which is basically capturing as a camera the particular shot that it has. It ceases to function, but I can't turn it off. There is a power light. You probably can see there the green light that cannot be turned off for love or money. And generally what I have to do is wait for it to just power itself all the way down, and then it reboots, and then it's fine. So there you go.
A whole lot of information people didn't need.
It was a whole lot of information people didn't need, but you know, if you're interested in some of the behind the scenes, there was some of the behind the scenes. I had stuff I wanted to tell people about having to do with things beyond the convention, and I said, oh, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to tell people about it during the news and information hour, but now I've completely spaced on what the hell it is. So that wasn't very, very smart. I think it's probably stuff having to do with our ongoing efforts here on the Phil Hendrick Show website and broadcast service, having to do with our podcasts and our archives and just stuff that we have happening. If you don't yet have a backstage pass, we encourage you to get one and join the family. Be a part of our BSP family. Well, all of the show logs, by the way, are done through January 2001. For those of you who are interested, we continue to work on those. We have this enormous website. We're very proud of it. We have a huge archive. We take very seriously the art of radio. And the proof of that is the archive that we do have. And so there you go. You can pay a whole lot of money and not get anything, which is what a lot of people do when they subscribe to radio websites. Or you can pay the price that we have, which is like $9.95 for the month, and then it's cheaper for 6 months, etc., and get like more stuff than you could possibly ever, any real person could ever need.
What about the people? We get mail from people. They go, yeah, I'm all done with the archives. What else?
I have to be very, very honest when I say this. I also have to be careful, but I have to be honest. People that have plowed through the entire archive on our website and are complaining that they need more to listen to are professional complainers. They are not real people. Do you understand what I mean? You know what a professional complainer is? It's just somebody who wants to complain and bitch and moan. That's all.
You don't think people listen to all the archive?
I think it's possible that people have listened to all of our archives. There's no question about that. But a normal human being who's listened to all that we have to offer in our archives is going to go back to some of their favorite stuff. They may go back to a favorite bit. They may listen to the newer things. They may, you know, experience the video cast again somehow. They find other things because we've always got something new happening on our website, and that's just a fact. If you are have listened to the entire archive and you don't want to listen to any more of it, and you're hoping for, it's just a complainer. And those people, you know, I got nothing to say to. You know, you want to just go over to SiriusXM's website and bitch to them about the garbage that they offer. Bitch to them about the lack of content over on their entire network. As I said, with the exception of a couple of shows, O&A, Howard, that's about it, man. The rest of it is crap. And the people that pay the monthly subscription fee for that dung are people who have talked themselves into thinking it's a fantastic buy. No, I really like it. It's really good. It's really, yeah, sure. Sure, it's worth it. No, I get all of this audio, and I get... What do you get, man? You getting audio off of a TV? You getting the audio off of what is essentially a TV broadcast? And what else? You're getting the NASCAR races? I mean, dude, you can hear that stuff for free and get a far better and more in-depth broadcast someplace else. I remember when I was traveling through the South by car, you know, one of my favorite things in the world is just get in a car and drive, you know. I read somewhere where Anthony Hopkins, the actor, this was a People magazine article on Anthony Hopkins. You'd never guess how he relaxes.
Would you like to drive?
Why did I say you'd never guess when I was just talking about it? Yes, that's what he likes to do.
Yeah, he likes to drive like 10,000 miles.
What?
That's what he does.
He does. He says that I think like a 2-week vacation, he will get into a car and drive 10,000 miles. That's what he did 10 years ago. Now he's, you know, a little bit more advanced in years, but he lives in, Anthony Hopkins lives in America and enjoys this country and likes to drive places. So he gets in a car and he just drives. And his agent one night got a call from him. He was sitting in a motel in Texas someplace, just really digging it, you know. So I kind of understand that thinking. People, a lot of times, you ever get people say to you, you want me to drive? Do you want me to drive? Do you want me to drive? And
yeah, they always say that. That's because driving's fun.
Yeah, because driving is relaxing for a lot of people. And I think people will say, do you want me to drive? They're probably saying essentially, you know, I don't mind driving because it relaxes me and maybe it stresses you out. I like to drive. It does relax me. I'm at my calmest and I'm at my most serene, believe it or not, when I'm driving, even though I've had moments where I wanted to pull a gun and shoot people in other cars.
Yay!
Thank you. I'm kidding. Seriously, I'm kidding. We've all had those moments, I'm sure. So I like driving. And one of the things that I noticed as I was driving through the Southeast, going from point A to point B on my way probably down to Miami or places like that, the NASCAR broadcasting, they got more stock car races on the radio on the weekend. It's just, it's an amazing thing. I can listen all over the LA radio dial and not hear one damn race, not one auto race, for an entire weekend anywhere. Even if it was one local. Even if they had one out here at Ontario or one of the big road race tracks that we used to have. Forget it, man. But in the southeastern states, where NASCAR particularly is a big, big sport, and of course it's a great television sport, it's a great national TV sport for Fox, it's very popular, and it's big on radio.
Yes, that don't feature. What do you mean on radio?
Yeah. What do you mean, what do I mean on radio?
Well, I mean, how anybody going to... How's that fun to listen to on a radio?
What, road racing? You mean automobile racing?
Yeah, I mean, what's he going to say that makes it so cool?
Well, when you listen to a radio call of a road race, it's pretty, the guys that are good at it, it's pretty exciting. It really is.
Yeah, what's he saying?
Well, they're telling you, essentially what they have are like 5 or 6 guys at each turn. They'll have a guy or 2 reporters at each turn. So what the camera is showing you, obviously, a radio call, you need people. And hearing the voices of these reporters handing it off to each other can be quite an exhilarating thing. Because what's happening is you've got the straightaway, that is that part of the track that passes the finish line, the start-finish line. That's where the main press box is. So that guy is calling that part of the race. When it hits turn one, then he'll hand it off to the guy in turn one. And the guy in turn one will tell you who's in first, who's in second, who's in third. And he says he hands it off to the guy in turn three. So really what's happening is everything you see on television is being recreated by way of voice on radio.
And you say that's exciting?
Yeah, it actually, you guys got to listen to it and you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's kind of like back in the old days, people used to listen to prize fights.
Yeah, well, that part I understand, being on a prize fight and everything.
Yeah, I saw that one time on a cartoon.
Yeah, they go, yeah, and he's in the ring And then another thing he's doing, he just...
Okay, bud, fine. I get it, okay? I know what you mean. Yeah, prize fighting is cool on radio, too, although we don't hear that at all anymore. And, you know, that'd be something to bring back. I swear to God, man, in whatever forum, you know, if it's internet radio, if it is whatever audio form and whatever delivery system... Whether you are just grabbing it out of the air and pulling it in on your phone, because I got to tell you something, folks. you know, so much of what I have been doing in the last 6 months and so much of what I'm going to be doing in the next 12 months is going to have everything to do with that little square thing that you hold in your hand and I hold in my hand, that little rectangle shaped thing every day called our phone, but it's also our smartphone. That means it has the internet on it, and it is basically our own little personal computer. And my career, my area of professional expertise, broadcasting, that is the delivery of audio comedy, audio content, is going to have everything to do with this little thing in my hand, which is not what you guys are going to make a joke out of.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You're going to say your penis.
Shut up.
Ow!
You knew you were going to get smacked for that.
You said penis. Ow! Don't give me that heart.
Yes, I do. You, too. Knock it off.
Well, man, you walked right into that.
Yeah, all you did was tee it up, man. We just hit it off the tee.
Uh-huh.
It was funny.
All I did was tee it up. It'll have everything to do with this little thing in my hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I won't say it.
I'm talking about my phone.
Next year, man, everything you do, gonna have everything to do with that little tiny thing.
Yeah.
You guys done?
Yeah.
The phone. And all kinds of audio can be delivered on this thing. So when I say sporting events like auto races or even a prize fight, things can be recreated. And to that end, let me just give you a... I'll tell you after the break. We have some news about the Milwaukee Lions, who begin their season exclusively on the Phil Hendry Show website. They start their season on Monday, Labor Day, at home against the New York Pets. We'll have more details as we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, in our news and information hour, and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Anyway, I was mentioning off air, and then I mentioned on air that we had a camera just go kaput. We'll fix it. But I'm trying to figure out how to get the battery unplugged in that thing.
Man, you don't look too good.
Yeah, you look bad.
I know I do. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me tonight, man. Maybe I've got leprosy or something. You see, I've got like a mark here and a mark here on my face.
Did you want to fight or something?
No, I wasn't in a fight. I don't know what was the what the problem was, but... And I'm also sweating like a, you know what, like a racehorse. Or is the term peeing like a racehorse?
I think it's peeing like a racehorse.
And, I'm sweating like, so I'm sweating like a, I'm sweating.
Yeah, I sweat like Phil Hendry.
I'm sweating like Phil Hendry. And that's just kind of part and parcel of doing our radio show in the summertime. But this camera, this is the second time that this camera, all right, I'm not going to belabor the point. I'll just have to buy a new camera because that thing is, hey, Canon, your camera, it blows. We're going to have to wait for that thing to power down, and I can't get the battery out of it. Wait a minute. I think I just figured out the battery. Is this it? No, that ain't it. Anyway, get the battery out of it and power it down. So, on Monday, we begin with a regular season of games. The Milwaukee Lions begin. Game time is at 1 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. on the West Coast, and those games, the audio on Wang Radio carried on Phil TV in HD, which is, of course, our little video cast that we have right here. But it's only the audio. It's only the radio version of that game, and that starts on Monday. And you can eventually listen to that on demand, and you can listen to all of the audio on our website, folks, on your smartphone. I listen to our on-demand audio all the time. I listen to audio from our archives. I listen to audio from our character clips. I listen to audio of our podcasts. I listen to these from our site, and I also listen to, like, the Lion Games. So on demand, you can listen. The live stuff, that's a whole other ball game, and that is what is going to be solved here very shortly, probably within about a week, because we're testing right now with another company our ability to delivered to your Apple product, whether it be an iPad or an iPhone, are media. And it's been a long time in the coming. As I said during the pre-show, we've been talking with a company that really was looking for a $250,000 to $300,000 a year account. And we just said to them, we're not that big of a company. You know, we're not the National Football League. And so that's fine, Kaltura. You go ahead and good luck to you. And I hope you live to be old and prosperous. But we're like a lot of people these days, man. We're entrepreneurs and we're doing our thing. And we have found a company that is going to handle that for us. So we're testing it this week, which is something that we do. And we're going to rock and roll. What we use for our streaming, our video streaming, we use Akamai. It's probably the best at this kind of video streaming. And we have one of, if not the single best picture of all radio shows that use video casting. Then we've got, it's right up there with the top three. Because I haven't seen anybody do a video cast that looks as good as ours in terms of video quality. And we video cast in high definition. So you get a whole hell of a lot, man, over here at the old Phil Henry Homestead. Why not join up today?
All right, old man.
Good. So what was going on tonight? America can't afford another Obama White House, said John McCain in remarks of the Republican National Convention 4 years after he accepted the presidential nomination himself. John McCain railed against President Obama for his foreign policy record, lamenting what he cast as a demand for leadership in America and calling on voters to elect Romney the next leader of the free world. The Arizona senator, now when we talk about the free world, what are we talking about now?
We're talking about like, what do you mean?
Well, when we talk about the free world, what are we talking about? Because the communist world used to be, we used to talk about the free world, meaning the free world as opposed to the world of communists. Now what are we talking about?
Well, it's about, like, free as opposed to, like, being under Iran.
Okay, so we're talking about the dictatorships that remain, whatever they may be, right?
Yeah, man, I mean, I don't know. Don't you know?
Well, no, I mean, I just want to know what the definitions are. If you're talking about being the leader of the free world, then you're saying that, essentially, there's another world. And that world, because not every country is free, he's already making the distinction. So what is the other world? What represents the other world?
Iran, that's what I say.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Iran, that's a good place to start. Iran, what else? Syria?
Yeah.
And Egypt, or...
Well, I thought Egypt was going to be democracy, or not democracy, but...
A democracy?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Maybe there's some countries in Africa that still have military dictatorships. Maybe there are some countries in South America. I don't know. I'm not up on my South American politics. It seems things cleaned up down there pretty fast. You know, we still have a challenge in Mexico there. Who's going to win ultimately? I think the people and the government will win. I don't think the drug lords. There's no way that the world will long stand for drug lords running countries. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We don't go in that direction. The human race has already proven that we don't go in that direction. We go the opposite way. We go toward a little more clean living, you know? Not that people don't like to smoke weed. I'm, you know, but when it comes to people dying by the bushload or by the bushel or the bushloads or the...
Busload.
By the busload or a bushload in a busload, we ain't into that. So the drug lords of this world are not long for this world, although it will take somebody standing up and shooting them and killing them, fighting them. And, you know, that's where you always have the debate, you know. Drug lords are not long for this world. Okay, shall we go to war? Well, I mean, us, you know. What about everybody else? Okay, but I mean, we seem to be closest. You know, we're in America, they're down there. I don't know. Well, I don't know, the Mexicans want us down there. Okay. Well, if they were to call, what do you think? So anyway... Having said that, what is the non-free world? Now, the only reason why I'm asking this question is, can we be clear right away, and this is what I would like out of a president. I don't know if this is being unrealistic, but I would like this. If we say that we lead the free world, well, then I don't want to have any dealings with the non-free world other than in saying to them, here's how it's going to be, man. Otherwise, we don't do business with you. In other words, I don't want to have any more of these backstairs deals with these Banana Republic slobs, you know?
Like that Noriega guy?
Yeah, like Noriega, like all of those guys. No more of that. You understand there, Senator McCain? And you too, Mitt. Because I know how it is in the world of business. One hand washes the other, and we got to do business with guys that are dirty. I get that. But do we have to have diplomatic relations with these swine? All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Who is this guy standing next to Pam Bondi, the Florida Attorney General? He looks weird. What's up with him? What is that guy?
Phil Hendry.
She's standing there, and she's giving a speech, and he's... All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as I continue messing with my camera here. Here's an interesting article that I thought that I would lay on you. Thank you, Bud, for finding this.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting because it got stuff about Ryan's a liar. You know, hey, man, it doesn't say he's a liar.
It's not saying he's a liar. Well, it's not saying he's a liar. It's saying he got stuff wrong. Ow, I hit my own eye with the newspaper that I was swiping at you.
That's what you get.
Yeah. Fact check is what it is. Closer look at words spoken by Paul Ryan and others at the Republican National Convention. And I was reading through a few of them. Here is one that I think is interesting because I remember this part of the speech. I think probably a lot of people do. Ryan, this is Paul Ryan, and then here are the facts as fact checked by, I believe it's the New York Daily News. And when I say the New York Daily News, let me be even more specific. In the words of Mr. Woltz, just to show I'm not a hard-hearted man. This is the New York Daily News and the Associated Press combining with their years and years of experience to fact-check Paul Ryan's speech tonight at the Republican convention. Okay, now here was one of the excerpts from the congressman's speech. Congressman Ryan said that Obama misled people in Ryan's hometown of Janesville, Wisconsin, by making them think a General Motors plant there, threatened with closure, could be saved. A lot of guys I went to high school with worked at that GM plant, right there at that plant. Candidate Obama said, I believe that if our government is there to support you, this plant will be here for another 100 years. That's what he said in 2008. Well, as it turned out, that plant didn't last another year. So said Paul Ryan. Now the facts, according to the Daily News. The plant halted production in December of 2008, weeks before Obama took office, and well before he enacted more robust auto industry bailouts that rescued GM and Chrysler and allowed the majority of their plants, though not the Janesville facility, to stay in operation. Ryan himself voted for an auto bailout under President George W. Bush that was designed to help GM, but he was a vocal critic of the one pushed through by Obama that has been widely credited with revitalizing both GM and Chrysler. But I think the point here is that when President Obama made that speech, the plant eventually halted its production before Obama was even president. This was a speech that the president made when he was still campaigning. And so that plant closing its doors in December of 2008. Obama took office in January of 2009. It's not really, well, it's not true. You can't lay that at the feet of Obama. Ryan, quote, Obama credited a bipartisan debt commission. They came back with an urgent report. He thanked them, sent them on their way, and then did exactly nothing. This is according to Ryan. Obama created a bipartisan debt commission. They came back with an urgent report. He thanked them, sent them on their way, and then did exactly nothing. The fact is, it's true that Obama hasn't heeded his commission's recommendations, but Ryan's not the best one to complain. He was a member of the commission and voted against its final report. So were he president, let's say, Ryan, God forbid anything happened to President Romney, he would not have voted for a report that he helped author. So what's that about? Chris Christie, in his speech, he said, quote, Mitt Romney will tell us the hard truths we need to hear to end the torrent of debt that is compromising our future and burying our economy. Tonight, our duty is to tell the American people the truth. Our problems are big and the solutions will not be painless. We all must share in the sacrifice. Any leader that tells us differently is simply not telling the truth. The facts are that Romney has made a core promise to cut $500 billion per year from the federal budget by 2016 to bring spending below 20% of the U.S. economy and to balance it entirely by 2020. His campaign manifesto, however, is almost completely devoid of the hard truths that Christie promises. In fact, Romney is promising to reverse $716 billion in Medicare savings achieved by Obama over the coming decade and promises big increases in military spending as well, along with ending tax cuts for everyone, including the wealthiest. But he doesn't have any hard truths in there? Well, that's not a very good fact check there, Daily News. While you say that he's made a lot of statements, the few specifics Romney offers include repealing Obama's health care law, cutting federal payroll, weaning Amtrak from subsidies, cutting foreign aid, and cutting the Medicare health care program for the poor and the disabled. But it'll take a lot more than those steps for Romney to keep his vague promises, which are unrealistic. If he's willing to touch Medicare and Social Security for the coming decade, if he's unwilling to touch Social Security and Medicare for the coming decade, even the controversial budget plan of his vice presidential nominee, Representative Paul Ryan, largely endorsed by Romney, leaves Medicare virtually untouched over the next 10 years. What is left for Romney to cut is benefit programs other than Medicare and Social Security, which include food stamps, welfare, farm subsidies, and retirement benefits for federal workers. The remaining pot of money includes the day-to-day budgets of domestic agencies, which have already borne cuts under last year's budget deal. See, the problem here, folks, is nobody wants to touch Social Security, which is the big, big entitlement that needs to be cut if any of this stuff is going to happen. Otherwise, forget it. Just forget it. Both Romney and Obama. And if you want to make an argument, Obama's already been 4 years on the job of trying to get this crap done without touching Social Security, which everybody uses as the political football, even Republicans. Even the so-called small government Republicans, they don't want to go near Social Security because that's a big government idea that they think is pretty good. Well, that's fine, and they can, you know, they can dig it, but here's the problem. Nothing's going to get cut. No budget deficit's going to be brought under control. Nothing.
Yeah, what about my grandmother's going to be on it, too?
Yeah, and my aunt. I know. You're absolutely right. You know, if you want my honest opinion, I think Social Security should be used only for the elderly that need it. I think if there are people who are of the senior years who are able to support themselves through their own retirement plans, through their own savings, through their own work, I don't see, even though they've invested in it, yes, I understand. Or you make it voluntary, but that's the only way you're going to be able to make this thing happen, man, because you want Social Security to take care of people who need to be taken care of. And those are elderly people. But if there are seniors who have money, you know, that have a retirement plan that is working for them, then you certainly might realistically say to them, you know, you give up your Social Security. But you have the argument, and it's a good argument. I put into that program all my working life. What the hell are you telling me? Somebody else was yapping away at the Republican convention. Portman, who is that?
I think he's like a senator.
A senator? Okay, he said, take trade with China. Now, this is Guy Portman, and he was bitching about Obama. He said, take trade with China. China manipulates its currency, giving it an unfair trade advantage. So why doesn't the president do something about it? I'll tell you one reason. President Obama could not run up his record trillion-dollar deficits if the Chinese didn't buy our bonds to finance them. Folks, we are as beholden to China for bonds as we are to the Middle East for oil. This will end under Mitt Romney. Now, the facts, as articulated by the Daily News. Portman is an expert on commerce, having served as President George W. Bush's trade representative from May of 2005 to May of 2006. But he didn't fare particularly well in stemming China's trade advantage. Under Portman's watch, the U.S. trade deficit with China soared by 25% in 2005, and the next year it climbed more than 15%. By contrast, the deficit rose 10% over the first 3 years of Obama's presidency, according to U.S. government figures. Both the Bush and Obama administrations have launched unfair trade cases against China at the World Trade Organization, but neither has been able to rebalance the relationship. Santorum was up there, former Senator Rick Santorum. This summer, Obama showed us once again he believes in government handouts and dependency by waiving the work requirement for welfare. Now I helped write the welfare reform bill. We made it a lot crystal clear. No president can waive the work requirement. But as with his refusal to enforce our immigration laws, President Obama rules like he is above the law. The facts are, the administration did not waive the work requirement. Instead, it invited governors to apply on behalf of their states for waivers of administrative requirements in the 1996 law. Some states have complained those rules tie up caseworkers who could be helping clients directly. In a July 18th letter to congressional leaders, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said that to be eligible for a waiver, governors must commit that their plans will move at least 20% more people from welfare to work. Moreover, states must show clear progress toward the goal within a year or lose the waiver. We will not accept any changes that undercut employment-focused welfare reforms that were signed into law 15 years ago. Ron Haskins, a former senior Republican House aide who helped write the welfare-to-work law, has said there is merit to the administration's proposal, and I don't see how you can get to the conclusion that the waiver provision undermines welfare reform and it eliminates the work requirement. Haskins, who is now co-director of the Brookings Center on Children and Families, says the administration was wrong to roll out its proposal without first getting Republicans to sign off on it, but he said the idea itself is one both parties should be able to agree on were it not for the bitter political divisions that rule Washington. So what we're hearing here is a guy pissed off because Obama didn't get the Republicans to sign off on it. Is it a plan that, has Obama done what Santorum says he did? No. No, he did not. It's hard for people to accept that your own political party that you think is just so marvelous would engage in the very things that you think the other guy engages in, which is the coloring of facts to suit you, the out-and-out lying sometimes, misinforming, disinforming. But that's precisely what happens. That's why these—and you listen to this horse dung at all of these conventions, and then the day-to-day political realities that presidents face— And this is just a lot of fairy tale telling, that's all. This is just a lot of spinning of fairy tales and the spinning of marvelous folk tales. When whoever becomes president, let's talk about Romney. If Romney becomes president, I guarantee you that Obama health care will survive in one form or another. It will not be dismantled. The country's had the conversation, not just Republicans. The entire country has had this conversation, and the entire country seems to want movement in that direction. So that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, what happened if they do?
Then I'll give each of you guys $100.
Yay!
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Done.
I don't know if you got me on the radio right now.
I do, Don. I got you on the air.
All right. Yeah. I was going to tell you, Bill, about the young lady, Margaret.
The young lady that Margaret.
He's been drinking.
Hold on for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, Don. Have you been drinking?
No.
Have you been drinking?
Yep. No.
Okay. I don't know. I can have you on the air, man.
Wait. Hold on. I've been. Bill, I want to give you the name of the. Oh God.
The name of what?
You got the name of the lady that was on Piers Morgan. Love can set you free.
Yeah, on the Piers Morgan. Love is my middle name.
What?
Piers Morgan. Love is my middle name.
Piers Morgan. Love is my middle name. What?
That's the show that he's on. That's the show that he's on.
Piers Morgan is on his show called Piers Morgan.
Love
Love, 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 love. All right, yeah. Her name is Reston, R-E-S-T-O-N.
R-E-S-T-O-N is the woman that Margaret was saying.
No, 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 no.
All right, hang up on him, will you?
Yeah, hang up on you, Don.
No, no, no.
What was he saying?
Yeah, that the lady's name is Reston, that Bobby Dooley said had a gap in her in the teeth.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. That's Bobby Dooley's big problem with that lady, because she said that she's doing a tryout for the CNN news contributor. The whole thing was this. She came on the show earlier, and she was all put out with this one gal who is on the Piers Morgan show. What is this Piers Morgan love is all I have to give?
That's what he thinks the name of Piers Morgan show is.
That's what he thinks the name of Piers Morgan show is.
Yeah.
Boy, is he drunk, man.
Yeah, I was trying to tell you.
Anyway, this girl is on the Piers Morgan show, a young woman, I should say, and she is a reporter for the LA Times. She's their political reporter, and she is very well. She's a pretty girl, and Bobby seemed to think that she's on here auditioning for a CNN contributor job, you know?
Yeah, well, that's all they all do.
Well, no, no. I mean, I don't deny that a lot of the people that come on this show, that come on CNN or Fox, who are writers, I have no doubt at all that what they're really hoping for is a shot as a contributor. There's no question. But I just don't know where she gets the idea that this girl necessarily is.
Well, look at her. She's all, yeah, you know, she's doing all that stuff.
Well, in any event, she was very explicit about this woman, like she had a personal problem with her, and said, if I'm not mistaken, she said that the woman had some dental problem or something wrong with her teeth that was going to make being a contributor, you know.
Yeah, well, I looked at her, her teeth, they're kind of wrecked.
Yeah, she's got a big gap in her teeth.
So she's got a big gap in her teeth. So what?
Big can't be on TV.
You know, I got to tell you something, man. When it comes to this political contributor thing, and I've seen a lot of guys on TV, you know, they ain't what I call bathing beauties, man. There's no models there, you know? I mean, there's some pretty, I'm going to be just very direct. There's some pretty ugly damn people that they have doing those jobs, you know?
Well, like who?
Well, I don't know, man. You know, a lot of them.
Yeah, but the women are good looking.
The women aren't, the women are good looking.
Yeah, except for that one lady whose eyeballs bug out, like we were saying, remember that?
Yeah, the one lady got her eyeball bugged out.
One lady's eyeball bugged out?
No, I mean, her eyes are buggy.
She got a bugged out eye.
Who the hell's that?
She's on the one with the guy in the wheelchair.
The guy in the wheelchair, Charles Krauthammer. Krauthammer?
I don't know.
Yeah, Charles Krauthammer. She is the lady from National Public Radio. Bugged out eyes. Cokie Roberts?
Is that her name?
What's her name?
Cokie Roberts.
No, I don't think so. This lady has got her eyes bug out.
Okay, well, whatever, man. I don't know. So what are you saying? She's the one unattractive woman?
No, she's pretty, but her eye bugged out.
But what is it with you with the singular? Is she got one eye that bugs out?
No, it's both her eyes.
Then say eyes. Don't say eye.
But it cuts down on the time you lose.
It cuts down on the time you lose? In other words, you... That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
What?
Are you crazy? Just use the proper word in speaking the English, huh? In sprekensy de English, you dig me, baby? Just use the right words. If she has two eyeballs that are bugging out, say eyeballs. Now, I don't know who the hell you're talking about. But I will give you this much. The whole looks thing when it comes to even television news, even news contribution, when we're talking about the cable channels, it does appear that the women require a certain presence, some beauty. I don't know what it is.
But except that one lady. Remember that Edie, what's that one lady?
Yeah, that lady, her name, she's Edie Hill or something?
E.D. Hill. I don't know who the hell that is, man.
She looks like she hates men.
Well, you know what? If I had to rely on you two idiots to identify a murder suspect or somebody that really did something bad to somebody, I'd be up a creek without a paddle. You know?
What do you mean?
Oh, you two idiots are like the lady with the bugged out eyes, the one that looks like she hates men. You cats have no ability to describe anybody with any kind of clarity. Who are you talking about?
Okay, she's a lady on that one show, The Guy in a Wheelchair. Okay.
Is it the same one with the bugged out eyes?
No, this is different.
What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing.
I'm going to kill somebody here, man.
I know who she is. Remember they talked about, you were talking about that lady whose father used to be on a TV?
Yeah. Yes, I do. That girl? Yeah. You think she looks like she hates men?
Yeah.
No, she's just a very serious woman. She's, what are you talking about now? She's really serious. She takes her political discussions seriously. I don't know. You know, and I can't even remember her name, but I know who you're talking about now. All right, we've got to take a break. Actually, we have to take a break for the next 24 hours. We'll see you guys coming up tonight at 10 o'clock at a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, coming up on Tuesday, the best of Bobby Dooley will be rolled out in the shop, and we also are giving away one free year of a BSP, courtesy of the Phil Henry Show, if you have entered. And if you enter, all you have to do is hashtag BSP at Phil Henry Show, our Twitter account, Phil Henry Show, or like our fan page, Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.